Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Roussus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 14. The Infallible Word. Dr. Cornelius Van Til has called attention to the fact that Jesus Christ used the terms law and scripture as synonymous. Citing Psalm 82:6, our Lord called it law. Quote, this proves that the term, quote, law, end quote, was, for Jesus' purpose, identical with scripture as a whole. And of this law, or scripture, Jesus then says that it cannot be broken. It is, therefore, the final court of appeal, end quote. If God be God, then his every word is of necessity law, because his every word is the authoritative and ultimate word. There is no word, law, power, or standard beyond God, by means of which God and his word can be judged. Van Til makes this clear in the course of his discussion of the righteousness of God. Quote, with the righteousness of God, we signify the self-consistency of the divine being. God is a law unto himself. He is the absolute, self-existent personality, and therefore, at the same time, absolute law. God does not have a law, but is law. His self-conscious activity regards with absolute complacency the eternal rightness of relationship between the various aspects of multiplicity that are found with the divine being. He cannot and does not tolerate any subordination of any one aspect of his being to any other aspect of his being. The attributes and the persons of God are all on a par. End quote. It is therefore destructive of the biblical doctrine of God to oppose or exalt one aspect of God over or against another. We cannot oppose grace and law. Men may do so, but in God's being they are in unity and not in subordination to one another. Similarly, in God's being, love and justice are not contraries but equal aspects of his being and are in essential unity. To say, quote, God is love, end quote, 1 John 4:8, is scriptural, but it denies scripture if we mean, therefore, that in God, love is more basic than law, justice, jealousy, wrath, grace, or any other attribute of God's being. Thus, when scripture contrasts any of these terms, it either has reference to man's use of them or to man's relationship to them under God's economy. Van Til illustrates this by reference to 2 Corinthians 3:6, quote, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. End quote. The contrast here is not between grace and law, nor a materialistic dispensation versus a spiritual one. Quote, the quote letter, end quote, as spoken of by Paul, refers not to Scripture as a whole, but refers to, quote, the ministration of condemnation, end quote, that is, to the Pharisaic externalism. Thus, quote, the contention that the Bible was never meant to be taken as a book that should be interpreted literally, end quote, is invalid. The misuse of Scripture condemned by Paul was not a faithful obedience to the literal meaning of Scripture, but a reinterpretation of that meaning in terms of man's word, will, and thought. We must, on the contrary, quote, make Scripture the standard of our thinking, and not our thinking the standard of Scripture, end quote. It is to the advantage of apostate man to deny or wrongly divide the Word of God. If the Bible is reduced to a non-literal meaning and made anything other than the very Word of God, the result is a very different kind of God. God then has no sure and certain word, because God himself is an uncertain and unrealized being. those who pretend to exalt God by declaring him to be unknowable and hence unnameable are thereby undermining the deity of God. Greek philosophy, for example, assumed the utter unknowability of God. As Van Til observes, quote, "An apostate man has every reason for teaching the unnameability of God. If God is unnameable, then he cannot name anything in the world. Only if God is unknowable can man think of his own knowledge as autonomous," end quote. God can be named, but not by man. For man to name God means that man's autonomous mind establishes the categories of definition. The definitive and ultimate word is then the word of man. For man to define God would mean that man would then classify God in relationship to himself and would understand and judge God as well as to name him in terms of man's infallible word. This is at the heart of the evil of idolatry. Some forms of idolatry seem, superficially examined, to be very noble. Some, in fact, show the influence of biblical thought. At heart, however, idolatry defines God, whether by word, graven image, picture, or philosophic thought, in terms of man's autonomous mind and man's defining and creative word. The people of Israel wanted, in the person of Moses, a definition of God. What was his name? By this, they meant a definition of God in terms of man's requirements and being. God refused to so name himself. In terms of man, he is beyond definition because he is not to be defined by anything external to himself as a criterion over himself, but in terms of his own being. Scripture defines man in terms of the image of God. Hence, apostate man is fallen man. He has fallen from God's norm. Of a contemptible sinner, we say, quote, "He's not much of a man," end quote, because man is not defined by his own existence. We cannot name, define, or know God in terms of anything external to himself, and hence we cannot judge God, because God and his word are the criterion of all judgment. We can truly say of a man, quote, "He's not much of a man," end quote, but we can never so speak of God, that he is not much of a God. As a result, God answered Moses, not as Israel would have wished, but by declaring himself to be God. That was his name, he who is, the self-existent one. Quote, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." End quote. Exodus 3, 14 and 15. This means, first, that man cannot name or define God. God names himself. I am that I am. Where man does any naming, as Adam was required to do in Eden, Genesis 2, 19 and 20, it is either as a covenant keeper, working to understand the world under God and in terms of God's purpose as creator, or as covenant breaker, seeking to establish the meaning of creation in terms of man's autonomous and ultimate word, Genesis 3:5. Second, God defines himself by his self-revelation. The naming, defining, knowing word is thus the word of God. Man's word, when autonomous in intent, is unable to create reality or impose its own determinative meaning on reality. All things have been made by God, serve and obey his word and purpose. Third, this means that Scripture is the necessary word. God makes himself knowable and all creation knowable by means of his sovereign and infallible word. God's word is the word of salvation, but it is also the word of knowledge, basic to epistemology. It is the word of law, love, wrath, grace, justice, judgment, and more. It is the word which establishes the meaning of life, time, and history. Fourth, God's word is the unchanging word. He is, quote, the same yesterday, today, and forever, end quote, Hebrews 13:8. He declares, quote, for I am the Lord, I change not, end quote, Malachi 3:6. He is the, quote, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, end quote. As he was then, he is now, and forever, quote, this is my name forever. His word is thus the infallible word, because he is the absolute and omnipotent God, whose every word is truth. Fifth, God then made clear to Moses that he did not answer to Moses or to Israel. They answered to him. Hence Moses had to, quote, go, end quote, at God's command, and Israel had to stand up to Pharaoh in terms of God's requirement that Israel must serve God, not Pharaoh. Exodus 3, 16-20. Israel could serve neither Pharaoh nor itself. It must serve the Lord. And if Pharaoh, or Israel, stood in God's way, he would stretch out his hand and smite him. This is no less true today. The scripture is not a problem to be resolved by man, nor a mere subject for research and speculation. It is God's infallible command word. We either obey it, or we are condemned by it. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school, in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.